I want you to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 3. Psalm 107, verse 1 through 3. While you're turning there, let's pray. Seek the Lord's enablement tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for your presence this morning, your help, the words of God that ring true to our hearts. Thank you for giving us understanding and using that text to encourage our own hearts who are in Christ and who Christ is our cornerstone. Thank you for that. I pray, God, you would constantly bother those who are simply religious. God, that you would not let them rest until they find their rest in thee. Thank you for our church, for the people who love the Lord and who desire to hear of you and your truths. I'm grateful for them. I pray, God, that you would bless them. We pray for Bob tonight there in the hospital, that you would continue to help him improve. And God, that you would restore him to health, that he may continue to further the kingdom of God here on this earth. We love you and we thank you for what you'll do for us tonight in and through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By the way, Bob is doing some better from his stroke this morning. And he wanted me to let you all know that he loves each and every one of you. And is thankful for your prayers. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist writes, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And all God's people said, amen. I want to deal with Psalm 107 for a week or so, helping us to rediscover, I guess. We all know that God is good. We forget, I think, sometimes. But I want us to discover afresh and anew the goodness of God from His Word. So Psalm 107 is a song of praise. It's praise of God, not ourselves. Say amen. We don't have time for this mumbo jumbo about praising ourselves. Amen. I am not praiseworthy. God is. So it is a psalm of praise of God that magnifies His goodness. Especially when we find ourselves in times of adversity. So we could reread verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. We have every reason to praise God and to thank God. And it is oftentimes in times of adversity that we find God's goodness is most clearly manifested in our lives. And this psalm is an excellent reminder to us how good God really is to us. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, right? God's goodness and God's mercy follow His people wherever they go. Surely His goodness and surely His mercy will follow us wherever we go. And the very name of God reminds us that He is good. And that God is the source of all things that are good. He is good. And we never are in ourselves good. We never do good, but all good comes from God. And everything that flows from God is ultimately good. Or we could say it this way, nothing bad comes to God's people from God. But sometimes the loss of a job, sometimes the loss of our health, sometimes the loss of a spouse or some disappointment comes into our lives and causes us to question the goodness of God. We think at times maybe that God is withholding His goodness from us. Or we call things bad from our perspective when they are really good. So I want us to discover afresh this view from the psalmist of the goodness of God. Let me arrange my thoughts under three main headings. The first is the calling of God's goodness found in verse number 1. The calling of God's goodness. Verse 1 is literally a call to worship. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. So the reason the psalmist calls us to give thanks unto the Lord is because He is good. Now listen, it did not say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He has done you good. Give thanks unto the Lord because He is in His essence good. And His mercy endureth forever. So, while we're in the flesh, we are often distracted from giving thanks to God in general, and we almost always fail in giving thanks to God for His goodness in particular. We are prone not to give God thanks, and we are often prone not to give God thanks for His goodness. That's why we have to be reminded. Say amen. There are things that happen in our lives that discourage us from giving thanks to God for His goodness. So we are reminded that as a recipient of God's goodness, we are to be sure as God's people to give thanks for who He is. And He is good. And He is good all the time to His people. And if we truly believe that God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, then should we not praise God and be thankful to God in all things? Right? If I truly theologically believe that everything that comes into my life, God is working at for my good, for His glory, should I not give God thanks for all things? Well, maybe we can't praise God for all things, but we should be able to praise God in all things, knowing that God is working all things for our good. And when He says He's working all things for our good, He's working all things for our spiritual good. He's working all things to conform us to the image of His Son. And our circumstances, our situations, our problems, our difficulties never change who God is. Say amen. Because I'm going through a hard time doesn't mean God has ceased to be good. He's still good. Say amen. When I lose a job, He's still good. Say amen. When we lose our health, He's still good. When we lose a spouse, He's still good. He is good, and he should be thanked for his goodness. That's what the psalmist says here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And the character and the heart and the will of God is only on good. Say amen. God is good in everything he does toward his people. In other words, God will not do something toward his people that is bad. Say amen. He is good, and everything he does toward his people is good. It may not seem like it's good. We may not refer to it as good. But every good gift comes from where? From above, from God. So if God is good, then the only thing God can do for his people is what? Good. So everything that happens in our life as a child of God is good. So praise God. Thank God in all things, because all things are good. Are you with me? He can only do that which is perfectly good. And if it's good, it always comes from the hand of God. Amen? We can't do good. Only God does that which is good. Man can do bad things to you. Say amen. The devil can do bad things to you. Say amen. Listen, your brother and sister in Christ can do bad things to you. But God, to his people, only does that which is good. So we have every reason in the world, every time we get together, to thank God for his good. Amen. He has planned good for us. He has performed good for us. He is a good God, and the calling of God on every one of his children is simply this: oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy, or we could say his loving kindness, or we could say his acts of kindness, his love, his faithfulness endures for how long? Forever. As a child of God, not only does God only do good to us, he'll never stop doing good to us. Say amen. In eternity, he will still be doing good for us, his people. There is no end to his kindness. There is no end to his love. There is no end to his faithfulness. None of that has any end. His love toward us is a loyal love. That's part of his goodness. Are y'all getting this? Somebody help me. God is good. His mercy endures forever. He is good, and his acts of kindness or goodness endure forever. Therefore, we as God's people are called to always and continually be giving thanks unto the Lord. Unless you don't believe that. Unless you don't believe he's good. Unless you don't believe his mercy endures forever. Then don't praise him. But if you're his child, you know differently. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That's the calling of God's goodness, the call of worship for every single one of God's children, including me and including you. Number two. Not only do we see the calling of God's goodness, but in verse 2, or the first part of verse 2, we see the communication of God's goodness. Notice what he says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord communicate his goodness. Is it not true that the people of God have experienced the goodness of God? Have you experienced the goodness of God? And is it not this goodness of God that we should be communicating to those around us? I know we get all hung up on Romans Road stuff and things like that, but you know, the Bible says we should communicate the goodness of God. Say amen. And having a good God, being a child of a good God, does not mean that God's people will not go through difficult situations. We know from experience that the children of God will probably go through worse circumstances on earth than non-believers because of the hatred for the truth. So here's the questions. You ready? What should I be communicating to my brothers and sisters? What should my brothers and sisters be hearing from my mouth when I'm going through trying times? What should my wife and my children hear from my lips when I'm going through trying times? What should your coworkers hear? What should these school teachers hear from me about God when I'm going through trying times? Well, what they should hear me saying and you saying is that God is good. Somebody help me. What do they hear from us when we lose a job? What do they hear from us when we lose a spouse? What do they hear from us when our health begins to fail? What do they hear from us when we lose our money? Do they hear God is good? And here's another question. How will they hear about the goodness of God if the redeemed of God don't say so? Is Fox News going to tell them God's good? CNN going to tell them God's good? Any of those television evangelists, they going to tell them God's good? Or are they going to tell them to plant a seed? How will they hear about the goodness of God if God's redeemed don't say so? So if it's true, if God is good and God's mercy never fails and endures forever, if it's true, should we not say it? Should we not communicate it? Are you with me? I assure you that they heard every time that you doubted God's goodness. I assure you that they heard every time you questioned God's goodness. I assure you they've heard every time you suspected God's goodness. And I'm afraid they hear that a lot from us. But do they hear that things that seem to us as bad have come to us from a good God who cannot do anything other than good for us? Have we ever told somebody who asked us, well, how are you dealing with the loss of your spouse? How are you dealing with the loss of this or the loss of that? Have we ever told them, listen, I know it looks bad, but it's really good because my God is good and can only do for me good? The psalmist says, the Bible says, God's word says, let the redeemed say so. Now, if you're not redeemed, don't say so. But if you're redeemed by the power of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ, you ought to say so. God is good. How's anybody going to know about God if we that claim to know God don't tell them about God? The saved of the Lord who have experienced His goodness should say so. And if we're not careful, we'll see ourselves as being so self-sufficient that we really won't have anything to thank God for. And I would say tonight, there's no doubt that we have everything to thank God for. Amen? And let me just remind you that a believer, we think believers are characterized by what they do and what they don't do. No. A believer is not characterized by what they do and what they don't do. A believer is characterized by their interest in God. Their concern about God and God's glory. And the problem with the lost world is they have no interest in God. They have no thoughts about God. But a believer should be eager to praise God and show gratitude for God's goodness because they see God's goodness in every part of their life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if those who have no interest in hearing about God only heard us talk about God who is good even in the difficulties of our life? That the only thing they can know about God from us is He's good. He's good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed say so. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with our country. Be real honest with you. Christians have closed their mouths and refused to say so. Say amen. For far too long. Let the redeemed say so. He is good. And I understand sometimes our problems drive us to despair. They drive us to hopelessness. Sometimes we blame God and grow bitter because He allows trials to come into our lives. We communicate that all too well, right? I talk to people. You know what they tell me? Brother, we're not going to be at church for a while. We're going through some hard times right now. As soon as we get through those hard times, we'll try to get back in church. What are you communicating? That God's not good right now? When He gets better, I'll come praise Him? When He does better? But what we don't understand is that it is those very trials that God has designed as the means for a person's salvation, our growth in grace. They're for our good. I don't know what God's doing, but I know what God has to do for me. He has to do good because He is good. So why would we tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ after they have failed over and over again to hear us praise God for His goodness? Now, we can't know all that God is doing, nor can we know how God is going to accomplish this or that in our lives. But what we know is that God is good, and He can only do good to His people. And if we agree that God is good, then people should be able to hear it when we say so. God's people are a grateful people. Amen? Number three, you got quiet on me, so you must not be saying so. We can go ahead and confess. Amen? Lord, help me to do better at saying so. Say amen. You see, this is not for us to say, oh, I got that one checked off. I'm good on that one, preacher. I don't know who you're talking to tonight, but I hope they're here. No, this is for all of us to say, oh me, I have failed. God forgive me and God help me. to say so. Number three, the confirmation of God's goodness. The latter part of verse 2. Let the redeemed say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. The word redeemed here means to act as a kinsman redeemer. It means to purchase or to buy from some sort of bondage. Now, a kinsman redeemer had to meet two qualifications beyond being a kinsman. He had to have enough money to make the purchase, and he had to be willing to make the purchase. You see, God has everything. But is God willing to purchase us? And I would say tonight, it is the goodness of God that makes Him willing to redeem us. Now, the immediate context of this psalm is that Judah, southern kingdom, has been taken into Babylonian captivity and has been delivered from Babylonian captivity as God had promised. They have been delivered out of the hand of the enemy. And that is what a good God does. He delivers His people out of the hand of the enemy. Say amen. A good God does two things. He disciplines His children and He delivers His children. That is the goodness of God. And if you'll think about it tonight, the broader context here, all of God's people have been redeemed from out of the hand of the enemy. We all have been redeemed from the bondage of sin. We all have been rescued from the power of sin's hold on us. Say amen? God has, out of His goodness, out of His mercy that endures forever, He has acted on my behalf to redeem me, to purchase me out of the hand of the enemy, from the bondage of sin. He has rescued me from the power of sin over me. We all have been gathered, have we not? Or collected. Gathered or collected together from every direction, east, west, north, south. Wherever there were those in bondage, God rescues them. He rescues people from all places and in all things. And God has not saved us from our enemy and left us to fend for ourselves, but He has saved us, delivered us from the hand of our enemy, and He has gathered us together. Amen? He has placed us with other believers so that we could be cared for and provided for and protected and helped guide ourselves by His words. Amen? And if you're here tonight, saved by the grace of God, if you have been rescued from your own sinfulness, if you have been given believing friends at a good church, let me tell you something. You have experienced the high cotton of God's goodness. We have experienced divine redemption, and we have experienced divine restoration, just as He has promised us to do good to us. God has promised to do good to me. So here's my question. What is the reason that God has gathered us together? Why has God brought you and me together in this church? What's the reason? It's His goodness, right? He's redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. He's brought us together and collected us together. What's the reason? So that we all can collectively together thank God for His goodness. That's it. Let all the redeemed say so. All those who have been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, all those who have been gathered from the four corners of the earth, let them come together and let them thank God and praise God together for His goodness. Don't you think that if a group of Jews could thank God for His goodness when they experience physical captivity and deliverance, how much more should we who have experienced spiritual captivity and deliverance sing thanks for His goodness? I was thinking this afternoon, every one of us here tonight in this church who have been redeemed and who have been gathered together by the goodness of God, we are so very different. Right? We like different stuff. We eat different stuff. Right? We're so very, very different. And that's the great thing about the church. It is diverse. Every one of us are different from one another. But yet, we all have experienced the same deliverance. And we all have experienced the same gathering or collecting. We all have experienced God's goodness. It's the thing we all have in common, right? We have been redeemed. We have been purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He has brought us together. Why? So that we together who share these two things can praise and glorify God for His goodness. We share a common redemption, and we should share a common gratitude for the goodness of God. I'm telling you, when you come to church, it ought to get on. Say amen. We ought to get on about God's goodness. He is a good God. He saved me. He's a good God. He's redeemed me. He's a good God. On the cross, He took my sins. He is a good God. He brought me from Virginia to South Carolina. How much better can you get than that? He has given me friends I would never, ever have if He had not redeemed me and saved me and gathered me. We share this common redemption. We should share this common gratitude for the goodness of God. Because that's what we will do together for all eternity, right? Praise and glorify His goodness. So what does the psalmist say? He calls us who are God's children to worship. And he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because He's good and because His mercy endureth forever. Let those who He has redeemed, let those who are under the blood of Christ, let them say so. The atheist doesn't have any trouble saying what they believe. Say amen. The lesbian, gay, homosexual, can't decide what they are people, they don't have any trouble promoting their agenda. Say amen. We're a dying breed because we've let our country make us a dying breed. No matter what they threaten to do to you, let them know God is good. He hath redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. He hath gathered us from out of the lands from east and west, north and south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He is a good God. And no matter what I'm going through in my life, it must be for good, because my God can only do for me what is good. And you say, I don't see that's good. Well, you ain't God. Amen? God knows what's good for me. Amen?